Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yes, indeed. Welcome on into our draft coverage here. WWL, Steve Geller, Bobby Aber, Mike Dottiglia hanging out at 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans, gearing up for round one of the NFL draft tonight, Mike. And we've been waiting so long, talking so much about it, and the speculation ends this evening. We can finally start breaking down the actual picks that happen.
It gave us a lot of content for the last couple
for
months.
Sure.
And certainly a lot of opinions from everybody on exactly, you know, what they'll do. And this is such an important draft for this franchise because they're not one player away. You know, they got to add top players in numerous spots on this football team. But it's so important you hit in round one because you've spent so much time and work and effort in doing this. You get a top 10 pick, and you want to make sure that guy can play and play right away. None of this developmental stuff. That guy got to come in to play right away for you. And so in year 38 with me, because this is my 38th year doing this for WWL, it always comes down to just making sure you pick the good football player. You hope he's a great athlete, but you really want a great football player.
Yeah.
Cajun Cannon, great to have you back in the mix. I know last year your son was getting married, so you missed Draft Fest.
Yes, I missed it, but now I'm dressed for Jazz Fest, but I'm at Draft Fest.
You're festive, baby.
I'm festive now. I'm festivus, so to speak. But look, this is the 90th annual NFL draft. Now, I think the NFL always gets it right, it seems like, from a PR perspective. The primetime format, this is the 15th consecutive year. Remember how we used to have the Big Ten and all of the same thing in the afternoon? So they said, we got to move this to primetime.
That was right before me. I missed the Reggie Bush draft.
We did that on a Saturday and the Sunday. Yeah, that was nice outside the Saints camp.
Well, right. This will be the primetime format, the 15th consecutive year. Now, I think there's nowhere to go but up. And what I mean by that, if you look at anything, I look at positive or negative. Whenever you're talking about a decade plus or two decades, the Saints finished just 5-12 this past season, the worst record since 2005. And then, you know, it's all the same ownership. The Pelicans didn't fare any better. They went 21-61. Only the 2004-05 Hornets at that time did worse than that by going 18-64. So you want to talk about negative. That's what I'm saying. There's nowhere to go but up. The 26 wins, combined wins, by the Saints and Pelicans tied for the worst of the season by the city sports teams, equaling the 2004 Saints who went 8-8 and those 2004-05 Hornets. So there's nowhere to go but up right now. If you look at past history, what have the Saints done? Since 2018, the Saints have drafted an offensive or defensive lineman with six of their seven first-round picks. The lone exception being receiver Chris Olave in 2021. Since 2002, now this is interesting. Since 2002, the Saints have used an NFL-high 15 first-round draft picks on offense and defensive linemen.
Trenches, baby.
So
the thing is this.
So I don't think
they still need help there.
So I don't think
with all those picks.
So I don't think that has changed at all. And what's a good thing? Now I still think we light in the keister of the cornerback position, but heavy on defensive linemen. Mike, you've commented on this while lighter on cornerbacks in this draft.
Yeah.
And the nine overall selections, four of which the Saints are going to have in the top 100 and six in the top 150. I think I'm not saying we're going to have a 2017 special draft, which is, you remember we're going to talk back maybe 5 years and all. Remember that draft in 2025? But that's the difference. You got to get young players to work out. You don't have to pay them, and you get the production where they add a Pro Bowl, All-Pro level. So I think that's where we're at right now. Whoever we picking at number nine, he has to play right away. Ain't no damn developmental.
Yep.
It ain't no Marcus Davenport, Peyton Turner. Oh, they got a lot of upside. That's why I don't like the defensive end. He looks like Tarzan. Sometimes he plays like Jane. What's that, Shamir guy?
Shamir Stewart.
From
right.
Texas A&M. Mm. He might end up working out. He'll end up being a first-round draft pick because he looks like an Adonis.
Somebody else develop him.
Yes. So I think more latter first round. Whoever we picking, and I'm going right now, still on the trenches defensive line, defensive side of the ball, would be Mikael Williams. Williams from Georgia.
That is the betting favorite, Cajun Cannon.
Tomato, because, listen, you know what I read? And I read it, Mike, you know I read all this stuff like you. I read what you see. I read what everybody says. All I know is they said he plays good against the run.
He does.
What?
Check.
Well, what have we done against the run? And he could be a hybrid guy in space, Mike, to cover and then rush the passer. I mean, I don't know.
Bob, I think one of the things, you weren't there for this, but we had Pete Jenkins on. And I wanted him to explain the difference in any type of change, even if it's a hybrid 3-4, which everybody's
today. Yeah.
And he said the one thing that will change more than anything, body types for the linebacker and for the rusher. That's going to change with this football team. And I think Mikael Williams could fit that mold. Funny, 2 weeks ago, I get a call. Hey, the Saints are interested in Mikael Williams. Charlie and I are talking about it. I was like, man, nobody's putting him in the top 20. You had him 13. You think he could go 9 or 10? And now Mikael Williams has become the betting favorite
right.
at the 9 spot
for the
Saints.
For a week, I've had the number 1. And for Odyssey, I did a mic draft, a national thing. And end up picking him. Because I like also the other Georgia guy, Mike.
Jalen Walker. I don't think Jalen will be there.
Jalen Walker.
I sure like if he was there.
I would have picked Jalen Walker, but then they had him going
Carolina.
In that mock draft to Carolina to pick before. So that's why I went with Williams.
Yeah.
Stick around for more of this Black and Gold Draft Show. We're here at 504 Golf and Entertainment, 3800 Howard Avenue. Come out and celebrate football with Team WWL. Now time for a news break right here on AMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're back here on the Draft Preview Show here on WWL 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Love to meet you. Coming out and say, hey, we are on a 6 o'clock hour right now, so you know what that means here on WWL, folks. Ready to party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is Gentilly. That's Gentilly, G-E-N-T-I-L-L-Y. Now just go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance. All you got to do is listen 9 a.m., noon, 3, and 6 p.m. for the Jazz Fest code word of the day. You can see amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Cage the Elephant, Patti LaBelle, Trombone Shorty, and more. Good luck and happy festing, folks, from Miller Lite and the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Getting up for this draft that will be kicking off in about 45 minutes. The Saints will be on the clock with the 9th overall selection, and all that speculation of all the mock drafts and guessing that we've seen so far will finally come to an end. We'll get the first pick of the Kellen Moore era and figure out who this new addition is to the Black and Gold offense or defensive side of the ball. I know Mickey said yesterday that Kellen definitely believes in that same philosophy of building in the trenches.
The inside out
right.
is what he called it.
So see if we end up getting an offensive or defensive lineman is very possible.
Yeah, and again, you know, in doing these drafts all these years, that's always a guy that tumbles. And you wonder who will be that guy. Because we've talked so much about that top 9.
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit of a break, and then it's from 10 to 20, and then from 21 to 50. The grades are all kind of jammed in there. Who takes the tumble? And does he fit the profile of what the Saints are looking for in this draft class? Because we see it every year. Somebody makes a little bit of a tumble. And my thing has always been, because I've seen it throughout the years, the one position that has tumbled more than any, defensive tackle.
Okay.
It has taken a tumble. I'll tell you the story. Jalen Carter, he was my number one ranked guy when he came out. Now, he did have some issues at Georgia. He went 9th. Chris Jones, when he came out of Mississippi State, he was my 18th ranked player. He went 37th. Aaron Donald was my 8th ranked player. He went 13th. They all took, now some of them took a real tumble. Now Aaron, he took a little tumble. But you can see where the edge rushers sort of have that advantage. over the interior people. So if we're looking at that, does Mason Graham take a tumble?
Yeah, he might because, you know, everyone's infatuated with numbers. And he might
man, to hell with that. I want production.
No, but Mike, but I mean by
but I know what you're saying.
No, no, that's one reason why we went get Godshaw from the Patriots.
Right.
The Blackman from Blackman, LSU Tiger. He didn't do anything. Yes, he made the linebackers be in position to do stuff because he occupies blockers.
Space eater, right.
No, it's like dirty work that you don't get enough credit for, but everybody wants him. Everybody wants him. Now, it would be hard to pass up if he's available. Tyler Ward. Mike, you want to talk about all-purpose weapon in final season?
Man, I love Tyler.
104 receptions, 1,233 yards, 218 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns. He averaged 8.5 yards a carry. I don't know. It's like a poor man's Taysom Hill.
That's what I was saying to Mike before we got on. It kind of seems like a new version.
Okay, the crazy thing, we had Rich Marty on 2 days ago, and Rich was like, if someone had a child and it was part Jeremy Shockey, part Taysom Hill, that is what Tyler Warren is.
Well, that means he's going to be successful.
Yeah, I do believe.
That means he's going to have a lot of success in the NFL. Now, as far as the pass receiving tight end, Mike, I don't know if I've seen from the get-go, and he wasn't on, oh, well, look at the team he was on. They were awesome. Look at the Raiders and Bowers. Mike. Look at the Raiders and the Georgia tight end, how he produced. So if you'd pick a tight end and he'd produce like that, then you can't argue and say, well, that wasn't the right pick. We had other needs. The Saints have a lot of needs. Come
okay.
on, we need a handful.
You name it.
We need a handful, all the positions. But you know what we need? Somebody who ain't damn developing, and he's producing from the get-go, no matter what the position.
Preach, okay. Cannon.
Yeah.
I think it is. Give me a receiver that's a big guy on this team.
None. A big guy who? Bub Means?
That's probably the biggest,
Bub
right?
Bub Means, what he played. Like he couldn't even play a month. Well, what he played? 2 games or something? 2 or 3 games? Now, where we drafted him the value and all that out of Pitt, University of Pittsburgh, it all worked out with Bub Means. But, come on, Bub Means? It's like that'd be a trivia question for the Who Dat Nation. Who's like our biggest receiver that we can count on right now?
Okay.
They didn't even know who Bub Means. You tell them Bub Means. They go, Bub who? Bubba Gump? Who are you talking about?
In a semifinal championship top 12 game, the Penn State receivers caught this many passes, and I'm saying 0.
Whoa.
Everybody was either receptions were to the running back or to 44. They knew he was going to get it and still couldn't stop him. No, you can say
the same thing with Bowers. The Raiders, they knew he was going to get the ball. He still didn't get stopped.
Again, he's a unique guy, and my comparison would be George Kittle. Because you know why? He can block just like Kittle can.
You like that?
He can actually block.
I like George Kittle from the get-go. You got that long hair flowing and all that. I don't know. He's like a Midwest redneck. I mean, he just seemed like, and he's in San Francisco. I mean, he was unbelievable to me. How can you be against Kittle? You know, you look at the top tight ends and all that. You never know how they're going to work out. Now, Juwan Johnson, I think he's serviceable. I think he's a legit NFL tight end. But Juwan Johnson is not elite. He's steady, but I wouldn't call him elite. Now he'll have spurts. That man, he was awesome for that whole month. How about he do that for 3 months?
And I think that's all I'm saying. What we want at number 9. We want an elite player coming in, like you said.
Exactly.
No development, production right off the bat.
It could be a rookie Pro Bowler. I'm not saying all Pro, but at least maybe a rookie Pro Bowler. You know?
My thing is this: let's get Tyler Warren past 7.
Yeah,
because the Jets may be the tripwire for Tyler Warren.
Yeah, that's out there. But okay, if you had Jalen Walker, if you got Michael Williams and Tyler Warren all available at number 9, I don't think that happened. Who would you take then?
I would go with Jalen Walker. He's my highest ranked player.
Okay, so to me, that's like a win-win. It's like you can't lose. I mean, whoever we take, I think is going to be a stud for the Saints.
You would
if they're all available, them
think
three.
Where the Saints are at number 9, and
yeah,
you're going to get a stud.
You hope so.
And Mickey Loomis even said they think they're going to have 2 or 3 players that they're going to pick and can contribute from the get-go. So hopefully that player fulfills that obligation that the Saints are going to put on his shoulders. But he should because you know, Mike, if you're a late first round and all that, you know, you could have upside and all that, but it's not a guarantee. To me, I don't know, top 10, but I would say definitely like eight or top nine, eight or nine in the NFL. Come on. You got to pick the right player because it's a continuous process. Those young guys on particular teams, they have to contribute and be able to have success. Now, not necessarily always quarterbacks. Not necessarily, just because you pick a quarterback, I didn't mean. But you can pick another player that can work out. Now, the one player I would not pick, and what do we need right now is cornerbacks. Right? Look at our experience at cornerback. We got like three NFL cornerbacks with experience. We love, whether you love them or not, or like Lattimore, Paulson, and Debo. No, last year, we were amongst the best when you look at that cornerback room. But then now with Debo's with the Giants, Lattimore's with the Redskins, with the Commanders, I should say. But, Mike, who's the guy I would stay away from?
Will Johnson.
I think he might be Lattimore Jr. He might be Marshawn Lattimore Jr. Bad attitude, the same kind of swag that he have in the locker room. Not necessarily good people. I'm telling you, so I'm not saying he won't work out. Now, he got hurt this year. He was unbelievable on the Jim Harbaugh the year before.
He sure was.
But then he slacked off. So, see, even though he's either the first or second cornerback in probably this draft, which is not a complete awesome cornerback draft this year, I still would stay away from here him because, I don't know, not the skill set, but the attitude. Does that make sense, Mike? I don't know.
Makes sense to me in the fact that he refused to run for the scouts. That tells me he knew I'm not going to run well. And you got to have that speed as a corner.
Can you imagine Usain Bolt, the fastest man in the history of the world? Okay, I'm not going to run. I don't feel like running. What? If he's so confident, he knows he's the fastest man in the world. He's running. The only time you don't do something is when you're not confident that you can accomplish what maybe the expectations are.
You look at the Cajun Cannon.
Anyway, I know. Okay, and I got to say this.
Okay.
The reason why Shador Sanders. Okay, Deion.
That's where I was going with the quarterbacks right here.
Okay. Shador Sanders. Listen, I'm buddies with Deion. I threw Deion Sanders an interception in a real NFL game and a touchdown pass. I've been knowing Deion that this is going back 30-plus years. Okay, his son is an NFL quarterback, but he's not worthy of the number 9 overall pick. And I look at like, Shador Sanders. You know, I ran a faster 40 than Shador Sanders. Me, I'm not even a running quarterback.
Cajun Lightning.
I can run in a straight line. I can't juke nobody, but I ran a faster 40 than Shador Sanders. You know what's the problem? A lot of fans, they think that just because you're black and African-American quarterback, that all African-American quarterbacks, they can run. They think Lamar Jackson. They think Jane Daniels. They think Cam Newton and all that. No. And that's not always the case. Look at Michael Penix with the Falcons. He's a pocket passer. Shador is a pocket passer. He'll have success, but he's not going to work all this magic. Shador would be best to go to a team. Very similar. That's the best thing ever happened to Lamar Jackson. Think about Lamar Jackson, how he fell, and the Ravens came back, and they drafted Lamar Jackson. Look what Lamar Jackson has done with the Ravens. Some people wanted to move to wide receiver. Now as a quarterback, he's been a two-time MVP. Lamar Jackson, people don't realize, Shamir said he can't hold Lamar's jog as far as throwing the football. I'm talking about as a passer. Lamar Jackson don't get enough credit as a passer. He's on that level. People don't realize that. So that's why you can't stereotype and look at all individuals. You have to look what they're doing. Now Cam Ward, Mike.
Cam can run. I'm going to tell you he can run.
No, he can run, but I think he's going to work out.
I think he will work out. I really like Cam.
Like a franchise quarterback. Now, if he could do, which I think he's going to go with the Tennessee Titans. If he can do with the Tennessee Titans.
What McNair did?
No, or McNair or what C.J. Stroud did with the Texans.
Yeah.
Remember the Texans were pooty. The Texans weren't any good. And then C.J. Stroud, look at the impact he had with the Texans. So if Cam Ward can do that for the Titans, then you hit a home run.
Stick around for more of the 504 Golf Entertainment Show here, the Black and Gold Draft Show on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Come out and join Team WWL. We'll be here all night breaking down the picks as they happen. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
BWL. Welcome back into the Black and Gold Draft Show. Steve Geller with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottillier, Mike Haas on the way. Having wall-to-wall coverage of our first round of the draft. Come join us at 504 Golf and Entertainment. That's 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. And guys, this is my first time stopping into this place. Quite the setup they got going on here. And we're jamming already in this place.
Well, and you look at the big screen they have here. It's the biggest
screen. I'm so jealous of that TV. It's like Jerry's World over here.
No, and look at the clarity of it. Yep. The biggest screen I ever witnessed. And did you see all the people at Green Bay? Boy, you don't think the NFL gets it right to know where to host their draft?
Yeah.
No, we got Jazz Fest and all going on. That's why New Orleans will never have Draft Fest. But I mean,
maybe one day.
We'd have to have it a different time.
They'd either have to move it back. You couldn't do it the same weekend.
They don't
have enough hotel rooms in the city to accommodate what they got, 750,000 people in Green Bay?
If you look at Green Bay, and that's the perfect environment. They can move it around.
Right.
It makes sense to move the Draft Fest around. Where they had it in Nashville?
Nashville was something, it sparked everything since because everybody was trying to kind of leapfrog with Nashville. Then it went to Las Vegas.
Then Detroit last year,
and then Pittsburgh next year.
Yeah.
Well, and they have the NFL so smart, they have these cities bid on it, like they bid on the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
So the rich get richer with the NFL, but we love football.
And
so.
It's cold.
And we love the Saints.
It's got a nice little temperature out in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's probably, it could be like the high 40s and the low 50s. But that's like football weather.
For us, it would be a little different.
Yeah, they're showing the crowds here right now, guys.
To me, if you love a professional American football or just American football, I say professional is probably the right word, that is the Mecca.
Right.
Everyone wants to go to the promised land, Green Bay. You should go to a game at Lambeau Field and go walk through the museum because you could see the history, 100 years plus of NFL professional football.
Just hopefully it's Green Bay. In the season. Don't want to go too late.
Steve, do you know why they get the name like Packers? Like, well, what are you packing?
A meatpacking company. Packing.
Yes. If you think about that, like, how you come up with a nickname? Like, can you imagine a modern-day version would have an expansion team? You know, we go, like, with the Heat. We go with one words. We Pelicans is the Louisiana State Bird or stuff. But can you imagine the local in the Steelers? You look at all that. You could look like even the UFL when they came up with the Roughnecks. Down here, we know what a roughneck is. You know, the Houston Roughnecks. You're working on an oil rig and stuff, and you're a roughneck. So I just thought that was interesting how the Packers, Green Bay Packers.
And it's stuck. They haven't changed it.
No, hell, they ain't never changing that.
Think about where I went to high school. Coach Dudley Hillman loved Vince Lombardi and the Packers. What are the colors of Central Lafourche?
It's the same thing. The Fools Trojans, they're green and yellow. Is that green and yellow? I guess yellow you call it. Yep. That green and yellow. Central Fools Trojan,
Mr. Coach Dud, he loved Lombardi and the Packers, and he loved McKay and USC, so they got to be Trojans like USC, but the colors of the Packers.
My dad had me brainwashed Green Bay Packer fan because obviously at the beginning when they first had the Super Bowl, Green Bay is beating the Raiders. They've beaten the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, Vince Lombardi. But that's why all of a sudden my dad said, I might watch the Saints because Jimmy Taylor. Jimmy Taylor from LSU. Whoever had LSU players my dad tend to cheer for and would obviously influence me. But when I look at, like, the Packers, when I look at Jimmy Taylor and I look at the influence on my life, in high school, we won the state championship. I got that number retired at South Lafourche. number 15. You know why I was number 15? Because of Bart Starr. Young people go, who in the hell is Bart Starr? Now, that was almost blasphemy. University of Alabama, Alabama quarterback, Green Bay Packers, but number 15. Jimmy Taylor, you know, like going like Bart Starr. So that's how I ended up getting that number. So when you look at, like, tradition of pro football, it doesn't get any more than the Packers. And you just look at the influence right after the Super Bowl started, the Saints and the Falcons and the politics involved in that. It's always political. How the Falcons and the Saints came in the NFL. No, it's amazing.
It's a trade-off.
Because we are a big...
antitrust.
Yes, because we are a big town, small city that the New Orleans even has an NFL team. But look how much we love the Saints. Look how much we love the Saints. Whether you want to call it Gulf South, Gulf Coast Saints, New Orleans Saints, it's all the same. We're all the same people. And that whole region. Because you can go from Atlanta all the way to Houston, Texas. They know other teams. It's us. It's us. They know Birmingham team. Or nothing is the New Orleans Saints. The Florida Panhandle cheers for the Saints. Now think about that. When you look at all that, that's why I think long term, this is post Miss Gale and all that. The Saints ain't going nowhere. The Saints are staying here because of the region. The same thing why it didn't matter if you changed the name. They used to be the Boston Patriots. What are they now? New England Patriots.
Right.
Because they represent like New Hampshire, Vermont and all that. Maine, they're representing that. Well, the same thing with the Saints. What are we representing? The Gulf South, the Gulf Coast. And that the Houdat Nation is right here and ain't going nowhere.
No, and you just talk about fans just from young to old, male, female, the Houdat Nation, it really is something. When you travel around, too, and you see different areas and stadiums, there's still that strong black and gold contingent wherever you are, which is surprising considering what a small market we are.
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You haven't had a lot of success lately.
Well, you have to look at post-Katrina, how New Orleans, the population, even the people who have left Louisiana, but you have to look at the surrounding areas. I mean, and right here in our backyard, you know, you always look at New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and the size of those cities. Well, right behind them, fourth or fifth is like Houston or Dallas. But then that's why you got to look at not just New Orleans, but the whole region. And the NFL looks at that and how passionate we are about football. How passionate we are about not just pro football, but football in general. Look at the SEC, LSU, whether it be Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Auburn, Alabama. Florida State fans, the Saints fans. Tallahassee compared to Pensacola and the Florida Panhandle.
Man, they don't know nothing about Jacksonville. Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They like in the Canadian football league.
Yeah. Jacksonville and Tampa. Florida, they have Miami. The Florida Panhandle is Houdat Nation country. They might try and annex that from us, but they'll never get it. The Florida Panhandle is part of the Houdat Nation.
I remember you told me, like, growing up, though, like, northern Louisiana, they were falling into that Cowboys territory. It's like, what?
Depends on where you lived in North Louisiana.
He knows. Now, I would say I went to school in Natchitoches, northeast Louisiana, like Monroe.
Yeah.
To me, going to school in North Louisiana, like, northwest Louisiana, Shreveport was more like Texas. Northeast Louisiana was more like Mississippi. But they were still loyal to the Saints, that being Monroe. Now, Shreveport, because the Cowgirls, were having so much success, it was kind of a 50-50 deal. Then when Drew Brees came about, they jumped on the Saints bandwagon. And then all of a sudden, because you're in Louisiana, it's 80% Saints fans in Shreveport. But it stands to reason they're closer to Dallas than they are in New Orleans if you actually drive and get in a car.
The other thing, too, guys, that makes this draft unique.
Yeah, let's talk about the draft. What the hell am I talking about?
No, you're good. You're getting it out of your system. You ain't been on the air for a little while. But in the modern-day draft, which is they combined the drafts in 1967, we've never went this far and not have a trade with a first-round pick.
Well, say that again, Mike. That's good knowledge.
Since they merged the drafts in 1967.
AFL, NFL, right?
We've never had this long a run. No first-round picks been traded.
So, so in other words, you don't have a first round and then you get a later pick?
No, everybody's got their first round pick.
Right.
No trades.
Oh, wow.
And that to me shows you the value of a first round pick today. You get a fifth year option. But today, man, that first round pick is more valuable today than it was in 67, 77,
right.
97, 2007. It's valuable today because of what you have to pay that first round. You're not guaranteeing him money up front like you did years ago.
Because the rookie wage scale will wage deflect scale. Your bargaining agreement in 2011.
Bobby got something to do with that.
We're going to step away from our show here, the Black and Gold Draft Show at 504 Golf and Entertainment. It is yet a packed house here, folks. Hope you stop by and say hey. We'll be back with even more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back in. Steve Geller with Saints legend Bobby Hebert, draft analyst Mike Dottilia. Mike Hall's on his way, bringing you every pick of the draft, plus all-pro analysis. Come join us at 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Love to meet you here. And guys, we're gearing up for this draft. It's only about 18 minutes away now from kicking off with Roger Goodell addressing everybody over in Green Bay.
Well, I know who'll go one.
I was going to say, looking at the top three picks, you feel like they're pretty set in stone?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if one of those picks doesn't get traded. I do know in doing some shows in Jacksonville this morning and then early this afternoon, the Jaguars are trying to get a deal where they can move to two to get Travis Hunter. Man, come on. The owner said, get me Travis Hunter. That's who I want. And if you can't, then we'll take Ginty.
Right.
But if not, I want Travis Hunter. So I think you'll see it, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, and then Abdul Carter. I think it'll be 1, 2, 3. The fourth spot, which Jacksonville is in at the moment, is going to be the interesting pick if they can move up to get it.
So, Mike, when you look at fourth or fifth with the Patriots, like our Jaguars, so what do you think? Will Campbell will get drafted?
I think Will Campbell goes to New England.
Okay.
I think Will Campbell goes to New England.
Because I know the Jags are interested in him, and then
Bob,
the
they sent the whole contingent of offensive coaches to LSU to talk to Brian Kelly. The whole crew that were there, along with Will Campbell.
Well, and you look at Will Campbell, you know, the only offensive lineman get drafted in the first round, you think like LSU, how we tough it up.
Alan
Faneca. That's not, you know.
1998.
That turned out pretty good.
Look, they've won three national championships. Nick won one, Les won one, Coach O won one. And then only had one first round pick in 98, and none since. It's amazing that you can win three.
You know,
and not have that type of talent.
Now, if the Patriots draft Will Campbell that high, did they look at the Arkansas film when Landon Jackson kicked his ass?
Yeah, they looked at all of it.
Yeah, yeah. So when you say, like, he's always been dominant, you know, like, when I look at, like, a Hall of Fame type offensive lineman, it seems like they never lost in life. I don't know. Like, whoever they were blocking. It's like, oh, I just had a bad game, whatever. So that's the only thing is when now he's very confident. You look at Will Campbell; he talks smack and all that,
and beyond.
And but I mean, it's not. I know Landon Jackson; he might go to a man. All I know is when I went against you, that didn't happen.
He came to our Dr. David Elias Pro Football Camp in Thibodaux. And so I got a chance to talk to him, and he was like, you know, they grade me a little bit different than they do anybody else. If we run 66 offensive plays and the defensive end beats me twice, you know what the people talk about?
The two
64
plays.
Wins.
Yeah, the two plays.
But he said, let a quarterback throw 66 passes and complete 64. They're ready to put him in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, so I get it, and I do know one thing. Man, he took practice like he took a game. That was no let up in Will Campbell. He did talk a lot of smack.
But that's
now.
Good energy. Now, Steve, before we go to the break, when we come back, I don't know if we have time, but why we might have to, even though offense is always sexy, why we might have whoever we're going to have, can they be impactful to help the Saints on run defense? The reason why I say that, look, in NFL, we had one of the worst defenses a year ago. This right now still bothers me. That's why I think, you know, more than the tight end or going with an offensive player, the Saints allowed 141.5 yards rushing per game, right on the 5 yards, not 4 yards, right on the 5 yards per carry last season, but only the Carolina Panthers were worse than the Saints in that category. I mean, like, what? That's
yeah, you don't want to be 31 in nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get into that after the break. We'll be back with more on the Black and Gold Draft Show at 504 Golf and Entertainment right after this on WWL. Welcome back into the Black and Gold Draft Show. Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottilia, and Mike Haas joining us with wall-to-wall coverage of the first round of the draft coming very soon, just 10 minutes away from
the draft finally getting underway. Come join us at 504 Golf and Entertainment at 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Sure, you can hear a lot of hustling and bustling going on here. This place,
man, they got a full crowd here.
Man, we got a full bar, big TVs all around,
and they got some golf swinging going on.
I was going to say, I haven't even checked out the golf yet.
Yeah, it's pretty good out there, man. If my leg was better, I'd go hit a few, but you know, I got things to do here, so it's all good. But man, it's a great place, and certainly, man, this has developed so many different ways in 504 Golf. And
so what did you see right here? The Times Picayune building, right here?
I'm not sure it used to be here.
I'm almost sure the Times Picayune building used to be right here.
It's a great view of the Superdome right here.
Yeah, I'm almost sure.
Yeah, and if you turn around, right the interstate's right here.
Yeah, right off Howard Avenue right here was the old Times Picayune building. I'm sure someone would correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I think
we'll definitely find out.
This is where the old Times Picayune building used to be. Old school. So, oh, they got my coffee.
You're set now, Cannon.
Now we happen.
Starbucks always comes through.
When we're heading to break, Bobby, you were talking about the importance of beefing up that run defense and how abysmal it was last year.
Well,
is that what you think at number nine they could go with some kind of run stuffer on the D-line?
Hell yes.
No, it's been the last 2 years they haven't stopped the run.
Because what did Brandon Staley, when he was talking with Deuce and Haas and all, what did he say? Well, all I know is if you can't stop the run, then they're going to keep running. We ain't worried about passing. So, you know, football might change the rules and all that, and you got three wideouts and all that. But, I mean, looking it's all like a chess match, and it's cyclical. Okay, what is successful? And then what have you done for me lately? All of a sudden, when you were playing the Ravens, you better pack a lunch if you're going to try and stop Derrick Henry. Look and
Lamar.
I was going to say,
okay, and then look at the Eagles and the success that Saquon had. And it was like, okay, they can pass the ball. They got explosive receivers, quarterback, and all that. But leading up to the Super Bowl, look what Saquon Barkley did. Man, you better be able to stop the run. First things first. You always try and make a team one-dimensional. Because I can tell you right now, If they're a team that passes the ball 40-plus times, it's very entertaining. But that team would be hovering more around 500 than be truly a dominant team. If you want to be dominant, you can run the ball. And because you can run it, then you also could pass it. That's the most frustrating team. When the defensive guys are looking in the huddle and they're looking at each other, they all say, like, are you going to do something? Are you going to do something? And they can't stop the run. My God, this was high school, college, pro level, whatever.
That never changed.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, man, we knew they were going to run, and we still couldn't stop them.
Boy,
that's the most humbling experience as an American football player, is when you know they're running, and you're trying to stop the run, but you can't. And so the Saints, we got to get away from that.
One of the craziest stats of last year is that the Eagles ran the football. They were number one in rush attempts, and they were 32nd in pass attempts.
And they won the Super Bowl.
Now, I've never seen that type of disparity from a Super Bowl champ, that you ran the ball and won. You were one in rushes and 32 in passing, throwing it in pass attempts. That to me is unreal, but it does go to show you how – as much as the game has changed into throwing and pitching catch, and the emphasis still on the quarterback.
If you don't
win up front, you ain't winning squat. All I know is that Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, they made Patrick Mahomes look like mere mortal.
Yes.
And the Eagles got after him.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I think the Chiefs at 31, they drafted probably an offensive tackle.
I bet it's an SEC player at 32.
I don't know who's going to fall there, you know, like at 31 to the Chiefs. But, Mike, they're going offensive tackle. They got to protect Pat Mahomes. You might say, hey, Barry, you're an old fart. I don't know. I'm old school. I still think offensive defensive line, and you can find other players that could be explosive. I'm not talking about entertainment. I'm talking about opportunities to win games. And if you can do that, you're going to be in the hunt. That's how you get the double-digit wins.
You look at the Philadelphia Eagles obviously winning the Super Bowl this year, but that game against the Saints, the black and gold hung with them.
No, we hung with him, but think what happened.
But they didn't end how we wanted.
How'd
you lose that game?
We ran into each other. And Uzal, safety for Minnesota, I think he screwed that up. The more I looked back, I can't think of his name. Jordan Howden.
Right.
Yeah, he's the one that caused that cluster, you know what, and then they run in forever. It's like, because it was under 2 minutes. A field goal is not going to be. You got to score a touchdown. No, we should have won that game. Think of the momentum we had at the beginning of the season.
Crazy.
How we crushed Carolina. How we crushed the Cowgirls. Man, like black and gold won the Super Bowl. We going and all that.
Derek Carr was moonwalking.
And yes. And then he's always grabbing his privates and all that. And look what he's doing, exploiting and all that. But that's another story. But when you look at what happened in that Eagles game, and we still overcame that, our best player, the only player that could start off for the Eagles, got hurt with the first series, Eric McCoy.
Exactly.
And we still had a chance to win that game. Why? Because we took away the football. We had, I think, three takeaways at the beginning of that game.
And other than Saquon's one big run, you sort of held him in check.
True.
Now, he did take off that one time, that one big run, which goes to show you it kind of broke the back of the camel on that particular deal. But the Saints hung in there and had a shot in less than 2 minutes left in the
game. You know
what
is crazy? Now, think about this. It shows you the parity in the NFL. And, you know, if you look at the glass half full instead of half empty, the Houdat Nation Saints fans are like, man, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Damn, we should have won that game. Okay, now, the Eagles were a whole lot better on the back end at the season than they were at the beginning. But think about this also right now. Now, they don't care about the team. They're more worried about the Dodgers and the Lakers. But look at the L.A. Rams. They were playing in the snow, down by 6 points.
And they almost had them.
Who played the Eagles better
than
the Rams?
Nobody.
And Matthew Stafford. So, you know, when you look at it, it's how a game unfolds and how it transpires. There's not much difference how all of a sudden the Rams could have overtook the Eagles. Because for sure the Chiefs didn't. The Chiefs had no freaking chance in that game.
And the Commanders.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they knocked them out cold.
Yeah.
And so
the Rams were the team
that gave them issues.
That gave them the business. Right, and that was in the snow on the road.
And I'll never forget in that game, Jared Verse.
Oh,
talking smack to the Eagles lineman. Y'all supposed to be the best. Y'all can't block a rookie. And he was giving it to him.
Right.
And, man, he had one whale of a game in that cold and snow of Philly.
We're taking a break here at the Black and Gold Draft Show live from 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Folks, make sure you stop by. Be back with more right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk Draft Edition. Steve Geller, Saints legend Bobby Hebert, draft analyst Mike Dottiglia, and Mike Hawes bring you every pick of the draft, plus all-pro analysis. Come join us at 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Love to meet you folks out here. It is jamming as we are just getting underway here at the NFL Draft. You can hear all the excitement in the background. The bar's hopping. People are all crowding around, eating some good stuff. I'm sure the golf is going on as well right now as we gear up for this event about to kick off. We are getting ready for the top of the hour news break too here on WWL. Mike, a great conversation you had with all that Saints brass at the facility early on. Did you get to learn any more about what direction they're going in this draft?
Direction, they're pretty good about this, right? This is not their first rodeo.
Right, exactly.
Right? I think they have an idea, and Deuce and I talked after we got off the air, which was kind of like they know the pod, right, at 9.
Yeah.
You don't know exactly because I've never seen a draft like this where 1,500 mocks and we can't decide on the top 10 guys.
Exactly.
Right? They're all over the place. So because the top 8 are so kind of still convoluted, I think Deuce goes, they know their pod at 9. You know, there's two or three guys. The question is, do they stay there, right? Do they stay at 9? I think they will, but there's so many opportunities, so many options available. This is going to be the most interesting draft I can think of in recent years.
We are heading back out to break here. We're going to be back with more of the Black and Gold Draft Show at 504 Golf and Entertainment. Stay tuned right after this on WWL.